Ah, the hour at hand. Your phone calls. That's next with William Buhlman on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast. George Norrie with you, William Buhlman, and of course, your phone calls. William, tell me about your training sessions. How does that work?
Well, they're generally 3 days, pretty intensive. It's based on techniques. I use a lot of hypnosis in my workshops. So I start out giving people basically a hypnotic training to go into as fast as possible into a trance-like state, at least as close as possible.
Self-hypnosis? You teach
Yeah,
them?
Well, I do a group hypnosis, but I also teach people how to do self-hypnosis.
Okay.
But I do group hypnosis on the entire, I use various techniques to basically allow people to get relaxed and enter an altered state of consciousness as quickly as possible. And then we begin to do various techniques. I start out with fear reduction, and then I go into opening techniques. And then we go into OBE training techniques, for instance, the target technique. And we do a series. I do a series of techniques designed essentially to open people up so they can begin to have the experience as soon as possible. It's I've been doing this now for 20 years, so it's I have a kind of my own formula I use.
Well, it works for you.
Yeah, but it takes practice. You know, most people, this is not just, I don't want to give the wrong impression that this is some kind of instant. It's not. Most people do have to. It's a matter of dedication for many people and repetition.
But, you know, as what has happened to me, William, and this is what's so important, even if they don't achieve the OBE this time or the next time, the training or the meditation or the tuning up to get to that point, I think, gives everyone just a tremendous boost.
Oh, absolutely. It's powerful.
Yep.
I do a cleansing technique that people love, where you open up the top of your head and there's this brilliant orange liquid flows through your entire body, cleansing you. And people tell me that, you know, they just feel so much lighter afterwards because it helps you to get rid of that. It helps people to visualize themselves cleansing all the junk from their energy body. And most of us are carrying around a lot of, you know, not a lot of baggage, mental, emotional, physical. And we have to start cleansing ourselves, not just our physical bodies, but our inner body. And this also helps not only in meditation and entering altered states, but it really helps in self-initiated out-of-body experiences.
All right, let's go to the phones. Let's pick it up by going to our West of the Rockies line. Gabe, you're on the air with us. Hi there, Gabe.
Hey, what's going on there, George?
It's good. And that's my father's name, too, so I don't know a lot of you. That's for sure.
Well, I'm calling from Bakersfield, California.
Great.
And I've been into that vibrational state. I've had a couple of OBEs that I've done through rattling and chanting and stuff like that.
Yes.
I was just wanted to mention a couple things and then hear your thoughts about it off the air. I wanted to mention that if you could see death as a vacation that everyone is guaranteed to take, how many people actually plan for that ultimate vacation compared to how many people would plan for a vacation to Mexico or something? A lot of people don't even give very much thought to it. There's definitely more to this material consciousness than most people realize. There is the subconscious, like sleep, and then the physical consciousness. There's super consciousness, which is what Edgar Cayce, people like him and Jesus and stuff could probably access very easily. To control the mind would require more effort than to control the wind. That's a quote from the Bhagavad Gita. And I wanted to mention quantum physics. A lot of this stuff is being proven right now through quantum physics. It's a very exciting time to be alive.
Yeah, yes, it is. I agree. In Adventures Beyond the Body, I have an entire chapter that connects quantum physics with OBEs in the multidimensional universe. I go in detail of the direct connection. Modern physics is amazing because it's like metaphysics. It's really exciting. I was at Stanford once and I sat in on a physics lecture, And if you take away the jargon and just look at the concepts, it is exactly the same as metaphysical concepts, because they're talking about multiple dimensions. The entire scientific thrust now is, the question is, how many dimensions is there? It's not whether they exist. It's most, you know, is it 13 dimensions? Is it 23 dimensions? That's what the physicists are discussing now. So it's remarkable. Most people don't even know this. They're still just waking up to the concept of multiple dimensions. But this is a scientifically accepted fact now, that there's multiple dimensions.
All right, great. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Next up, first-time caller line, Mark. You're on the air.
Hey, Mark. Hey, George. This is Mark from Riverside, California.
Sure.
I just got a question. I'll take my answer off the phone. I just want to know, how does one think positive or have a positive attitude when one has nothing but negativity in their life?
It takes a little bit of self-control. I agree. We were all surrounded by negativism. I also. There's no getting around it. You turn on the news, and that's all you're going to hear. You have to begin. I do a technique where I surround myself with a bubble of energy. You can make this any color you like, but I surround myself with a bubble of energy, and inside that bubble, my own personal reality is only positive energy. And that is my energy. And in a sense, it's like a force field. I do several things. I don't hang around with negative people. I just have exercised them from my life, essentially. I don't watch all the negative news on a constant basis, because it's all a repeat of the same crap in my mind. There are certain things that I've done externally, but I really feel that having your own, let's just say, force field around you really helps. And then begin to create like a vision board, as some people call it. Begin to visualize your perfect future. Make a list of affirmations, of goals, like I talked about earlier. I teach people to do 50 goals. Write them down. Get pictures of them. Surround yourself with what you want to manifest in your life. And then begin to think about those things instead of all this crap that's happening around us. And you'll begin to see a shift occurring. Now, I'm not saying it's going to be instant, but it will occur. It may take months, it may take a week, but you will begin to see changes. Synchronicities will kick in. Opportunities will appear. It happens to me constantly. It just works. The key is, though, to do these simple little techniques.
Okay, next up, let's go to our wild card line. Welcome to Coast to Coast. You're on the air with us. Hello there.
Oh, is that Colin?
Hi.
Hi, it's Colin from Thousand Oaks.
Hey, Colin.
Something I wanted to say that I think it's important for us to know our spiritual side and, you know, to kind of experience that. But ultimately, right now, we live in a physical environment. You know, I think, you know, we're eternal. We are going to spend most of our time through eternity in a spiritual realm. You know, God has given us a physical being to experience right now. And, you know, I think that we should, you know, kind of concentrate on, you know, enjoying this physical realm that, you know, that we live in. You know,
I agree. I've always said never waste a day.
I mean, I've experienced these OBEs probably, you know, hundreds of times throughout my life, and I experience a lot of deja vu, so I know that that's tied in with these OBEs. But, you know, God has really presented me with this physical world. So my statement to you would be that, you know, granted, get to know our spiritual side, but really experience, you know, the beauty that God has given us. And my question to you is, if you don't experience this negative thing, this Satan or evil, does that mean that it doesn't exist?
What do you think?
That's a good question. I do not accept it as an entity as it's presented to us in many religions. as a conscious entity. I feel that there's positive and negative energies out there, but I don't put a personality behind that type of energy. That's what I meant about not accepting it. I don't accept it as a personality that's influencing me. And I think that's an important distinction to make. Also, I do agree with you. We're in the physical body, and the physical body is our primary focus. But there's a connection. We're, like I mentioned earlier, we're multidimensional beings. Many people never experience their spiritual side. You have. But many people never do. They've locked into a belief system, and they don't even attempt to go beyond or let's just say have a spiritual experience. That I find to be very sad and restrictive. And that's why I think it's a combination. We have to have balance. We have to have spiritual experiences, and they will enhance our physical life. But I do believe that, yes, that the physical body is... OBEs is not a escapism. It's just a way of enhancing our life, not a way of escaping from the physical side of life.
So true. Let's go east. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi, Scott.
Oh, morning, George.
Sure thing.
Hopefully I may get a couple questions answered.
We've got time for
past
this.
Experiences.
Okay.
When I was between five and 10 years of age, I had numerous what I would call dreams. I would either be on a swing, and I would love to let go, and I would literally fly over my neighborhood where I grew up at. The other type of dream I had numerous times is I would wake up in my bed, and my bed, this may sound crazy, would literally like float out of my house, down the hallway, out the door. I would visit my elementary school, my friends' houses, and here I would, in this dream, I'd be sitting on the bed, checking all this stuff out, and I would wake up, either the bed would like drop out and hit the ground, or in my swing dreams, I would slowly descend back to earth, and when I get close to the ground, boom, I'd wake up, and it happened to me too many times to count.
Is that an OBE, William?
Oh, well, that's an atypical OBE that the children have referred to me thousands of times. Floating in the bed, floating to friends' homes, floating. In other words, we go where our mind directs. That's for all of us. Children, by the way, this is an interesting topic because many people are unaware that children are very open to out-of-body experiences. It's a very common experience, and actually we begin to shut down around puberty, age 12 or so. But children have an incredible potential for OBEs, especially for the first 10 years of their life. And, of course, their parents often tell them, you know, it's only a dream. They begin to shut them down. But this is a very common experience, and what you just heard is what I have. I probably have 1,000 different stories that are almost identical to that, floating in your bed, going to see a friend. This is very much an OBE, but remember, as a child, they don't have enough, let's just say, knowledge on the subject to begin to work with it. So it's strictly a spontaneous experience, but imagine if you knew what was going on, you could take that and then begin to direct it.
Aren't the great OBEs also the ones where you can go to other planetary systems?
Oh, absolutely. There's no limit to what we can do.
That's got to be exciting. Absolutely exciting. Next.
Oh, and many people relate that of going to other, let's just say, other planetary systems well beyond our solar system. Some people have these experiences spontaneously, depending on how open you are.
Let's go to Wichita, Kansas. Joe, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, George. I had a couple of questions for your guest that I would like to have explanations for.
Sure.
It seems like about 90% of the time when I dream, okay, well, before I go to sleep at night, I always coax myself to try to remember my dreams.
And it seems like about 90% of the time I do remember them. And then it seems like about 50% of that, 50% of the time of the dreams that I do remember come true. But the weirdest part about my dreams is that I wake up with severe emotions. It could be joy. It could be sadness. You know, I've woken up crying. I've woken up very angry, you know, because of my dream. And I'd like an explanation on why that happens. And also, I probably about 5 or 10 times in my life, there's been situations to where when I do wake up, I'm half awake and half asleep, but it feels like I'm paralyzed. And I don't know if that falls into the old hag situation, but I can yell and scream and try to latch out and move as hard as I want to. And I'm a big guy, but it doesn't matter what I do. I can't wake myself up. And then all of a sudden it just snaps and I'm awake.
Well, let me answer the latter one first. That's a classic preliminary stage of an OBE. The key to get over that, if you want to be to self-initiate, to take this to a next level, you direct yourself away from your body. The next time that happens, just think door now or window now. Focus on a location away from your body, and you will begin to separate. See, most people don't really separate very far from their bodies because they've been conditioned. They've kind of attached themselves to it, for lack of a better word. It's like a gelatin mold, an energy mold. And they have to begin to direct their energy body to move away from their physical body. And that's exactly what you will do by using this technique. Next time you have that situation, strictly think door now, window now, and you will begin to move and be open to it. And you will begin to move away from your body. And then after you're away from it, awareness now is another helpful technique. It will bring more consciousness into that energy body. Now, getting to your first question, often when people, now let's, little preface here, no one really knows what happens during one-third of our existence. No one, no matter what people may say, it is quite the mystery. Now, many people, including me, feel that we are far more active than we perceive ourselves to be during sleep. Now, everybody's different, but many people actually, let's just say, leave their bodies and do participate on other levels of reality. And in these, just this energy encounters, they are working on themselves. Now, this is my perception of this. We are a multidimensional being. We're a spiritual being. And when at night we're entering an altered state of consciousness, we're accessing these other levels of ourselves, and we're actually working on our, in other words, emotional body. We're working on our intellectual body. We're trying to remove blockages.
All right, Bill, stay with us. We'll be back with William Buhlman on Coast to Coast AM. Well, we're going to come right back and take final phone calls with William Buhlman. We better do it before he goes out of his body. William, I don't want to be morbid here, but would you kind of take us through the steps of death? What happens to us?
Well, at death, of course, it is an out-of-body experience. It's a little unique, but in this regard, because we do enter this other reality, the idea of the tunnel that's talked about by Dr. Raymond Moody and everyone is our mind's interpretation of this interdimensional opening, and we are met by loved ones who have already passed. This is a joyous event, and once we accept these people as we join in their reality, we essentially become part of their consensus reality. These are form-based. Generally, these realities are very much duplicates of the physical world that we've known in the past. One of the shocking things I like to share is that this also fuels the reincarnation process, because most people end up joining and entering a relatively dense reality that's part of the astral plane. So they don't go to the higher levels of reality. That's why in the Tibetan Book of the Dead, they stress the importance of going to the clear light of the void, which means go beyond form-based reality.
Mm-hmm.
very important. The entire Tibetan Book of the Dead is a training manual to go beyond form-based realities. And this is really an essential element that's sadly lacking in our religious training today.
Now, what do you do with the results of this 18,000-participant study, this survey? What do you do?
Well, I compile them and present the information, of course, at lectures and workshops that I do. And I also, I'm working on another, I'm going to publish the updated information in my next book. And I try to just, I try to share the information with as many people as possible. That's one of the focuses I'm working on now, is to present a wider, more comprehensive view of the unseen reality that we all will confront, you know, at this process we call death.
All right, back to the phones we go. Wild card line. Leanne, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Welcome.
I've got a question for your guest.
Okay.
And you and I have spoke several times, and I have had some really weird experiences, I guess, from the time I was 4 or 5 years old. And for the most part, they were kind of scary. And, George, I'd even told you a few that I've had. It seems like I've had a lot more of them in the last 2 years since I moved into where I live.
Yep.
But this last one I had was not scary. It was rather peaceful. And unlike the others, I was fully consciously awake. I was laying on my bed. I mean, I was trying to go to sleep, but I was having trouble. So I was just laying there on the bed with my eyes closed. And when I closed my eyes, it was weird because it was like I could see, but it wasn't really where, it, you know, it wasn't my bedroom. I was seeing somewhere else. And then all of a sudden, these, like, they were, the best way I could describe them would be like bubbles, like light. They were bubbles, but they were lights. And, you know, it started out just 2 or 3, and then it just got more and more to where I was just surrounded with them, and as far as I could see were these bubbles. And I don't know if I really did this, if I really did raise my arm up in front of my face. Now, I never opened my eyes during the whole thing, but when I raised my arm or whatever it was, it didn't look like my arm. It didn't even look like a shadow of my arm, like when you'd have your eyes closed. It was like a light blue form, like a bright light. And this only lasted, I mean, to me, it seemed like it lasted maybe 2 or 3 minutes, but it could have been longer. It could have been shorter. And then after just a few short minutes of it, I was able to open my eyes, and I was fine. And, you know, it didn't startle me. I didn't have the jarring feeling back into my body like most people, you know, and, you know, even I've had in the past. And I wasn't doing any kind of drugs. I was sober as a judge. I was just laying here on my bed. And it just happened, and I just wondered what that was and why maybe over the last couple of years I've had a lot more of these type of experiences, this one being the only one where I really wasn't frightened.
Are these OBEs, Bill?
Definitely. That is an OBE.
Wow.
That's exactly what it is. If you look at your own hand, I even described this in one of my books. I've looked at my own body. Now, it depends on what vibrational level you're at, but often your body, for me, I perceive myself to be exactly what you just described. My hand looked like they were made of blue stars. They were like energy stars. That's what they look like. And the globes, of course, are more than likely people. Because remember, like I was saying earlier, humanoid form is not our natural state. Consciousness uses these external forms for experience. But our natural state of, once you prolong your out-of-body experience, you become a globe of consciousness with 360-degree viewpoint. Now, that's if you maintain your, and if that's exactly what you encountered. If you would have relaxed, and as you gain an experience, you'll be able to communicate with these globes. They probably are people that you know. And you were feeling peaceful because you were surrounded by people that probably love you. And this is very common. Everything you described is a typical, and I hate to use the word typical, but it is a very common experience. And remember, our mind is creating our perception of this. But you can take this to the next level, is that next time, allow yourself to go beyond your body. Actually, think door now, and you can move beyond your body, and you can begin to communicate actively with these people that were within your presence. And it becomes very exciting. This may have been, often people, visitations are from dead loved ones that have passed. The length of time isn't as important as people think. But it's often people that, maybe your father, your mother, or people that are very close to you. And they're essentially connecting with you and saying hi. Because now you're at their level. They can communicate. That's an exciting experience, and congratulations. The more you're open to these experiences, the more they will happen, and the more they can develop if you don't allow your any fear-based thoughts to block you.
Let's go to our first-time caller line. You're on with William Buhlman. Hi there.
How you doing?
We are well, thanks. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Indianapolis.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Well, I'm originally from St. Louis, for one.
Oh, are you?
Yeah. I'm just calling because I'm so amazed to hear that someone has had another ability like me and to be able to do it naturally and have made history from it. I'm only 23 years old. When I was six, that was my first meditation I have ever had in my life. No one ever taught me. No one ever trained me. This is nothing that my family really condones. I always have this ability to do it naturally, like I said, the earliest I can recall since the age of six. From six to nine, I developed the power to have an out-of-body experience. And me being so young at the age of nine and not really knowing how to control everything, my first experience was negative, but I digress from it. And from nine on, you know, through my teenagers and everything, like, it was such a wonderful experience. And I was able to communicate with some people and to, like, be able to teach them this ability. And I never knew what this ability was as I was younger, but as I got older, I was more aware of my surroundings because the universe has spoken to me, like, you know, in so many different ways. But my experience comes at the age of 17, which is kind of shocking. When I was 17, I came home, I had a frustrated day, and, you know, I laid down, normal sleep, you know, and everything, and I didn't expect to go out of my body this particular evening because normally I can control it. This particular evening, I had an out-of-body experience, and I went to my fear zone. And my fear zone of, like, my hell or nothingness is static. I am very afraid of static. And I actually went to the zone of that's where I was, and I could not come back out. And somehow I triggered a telepathic connection, and I did actually levitate. And the only proof I have of that is because it wasn't the normal vibrations that I would feel, you know, the bed and things like that. The only clue I had that I actually levitated smallly off the bed, and at this time I had weighed 245 pounds, is because one of the bricks that was holding my bed up had collapsed underneath me, and my bed was on the floor when I had awoken. Now, after that point, things changed because I wasn't connected with the hive mind the way I was before this experience. And after this experience, I would randomly go into people's dreams of who I knew, and they would call me and tell me, like, you know, I had a dream about you, or were you over here? Because you just look like you float and you sleep, you know. But it's just, it definitely changed after 17 because it's like I lost a natural connection that I had, and I've been wondering how to get it back safely because I have a child now and she sleeps with me, and I had an OBE 2 months ago and she went with me.
She went and, with you? Hmm.
Yes, and that scared me because for her to unbeknownstly come in with me where I was.
Okay, well, let's get, like, Bill's take, okay?
Go ahead.
Let's do that. Go ahead, Bill.
Well, if you're concerned about the negativism, let's go back to the child, which, by the way, that's a wonderful experience. And it's also not that uncommon for a child to accompany their mother. Earlier in the show, I was talking a little bit about communication, sometimes even before birth. But just so you know, that is very common. Mothers and children are very much connected. So if you leave your body, especially if they're sleeping in the same room, this will occur. As far as the fear, I think what you're dealing with is your own fears. For some reason, you connected with an experience that scared you, and you internalized that fear. And it's going to take a little bit of your own work. I would surround yourself with light and begin to work on essentially purging that fear from your own energy field. And that will begin to influence, because remember, we carry our thoughts with us. We can't escape our own thoughts. And if we have any kind of fear, we'll just bring it with us when we leave our bodies. Same goes with any kind of blockage or baggage we carry. So we have to begin to exercise this to really get it out of our energy system. And I think you'll see a change. Begin to bathe yourself. For instance, when you go to bed at night, bathe yourself in just white light. Feel your entire body cocooned in white light. And I think that will help anyone that's having any kind of fear-based experience.
Okay, super. Let's take one or two more calls that will be all we'll probably have time for. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi.
Welcome to the show.
My name is Fred. I'm from San Antonio.
Sure.
Hi, George. Hi, Will. It's an honor to be on.
Hi.
I'm a beginning student of non-denominational spirituality and science. I'm a big fan of quantum physics. I think it speaks to, like, the way things are, you know, going to be if we embrace what it really means. Any rate, all of my life I've been able to see these, like, little points of light as far back as I can remember. There's, like, trillions of them. And from what I can tell about quantum physics, I would say, best guess, it looks like I see individual quantum events. I wonder if... this has any connection to do with this type of astral energy and maybe some connection to it, if you could speak to that particular vein.
Yes, I do believe there is a connection, because all energy is connected. And I devoted an entire chapter to this in Adventures Beyond the Body, the connection between quantum physics and metaphysics. Yes, all energy is interconnected. So I also see this. What you describe is something that's a common experience for me, because I also get these points of light all the time. I mean, it's kind of a strange thing to describe, but I take it for granted now. But yes, I think that's a wonderful. You're beginning to open up. Number one, that's why you can even see these points of light. And these are energy manifestations, and I accept them for what it is. I embrace that kind of, and begin to open even more, and you'll see that you may even be able to communicate, which really gets interesting, and not only out of body, but even in the physical state. So the key is to become as open as possible and allow these things to develop on their own.
Okay, final caller or so. You're on the air on Coast to Coast. Hi there, Renee.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, hey, George, how are you doing?
Good.
Hey, I was wondering if you guys had ever read the Bhagavad Gita as it is. It talks all about self-realization and controlling the senses and emotions of your mind.
I've read interpretations of it, but I've not read, obviously, the actual one.
Yeah, it's as it is. It was actually written. He took it from the ancient text, right?
Yes,
it
yes.
is, and he interpreted it word for word. His
sure
name was Srila Prabhupada.
And we got to hope he interpreted it the right way.
Yeah, the right way, exactly. And he was a very self-realized man, very excellent man. And I was just wondering if you guys had read that, and, like, what happens to you after you die. What's your take on that?
William, we've got a minute left, and I want to get your toll-free number out as well for your work. It's 888-426-3917. Go ahead, a minute left.
Yes, I have read
that. I try to be up on a lot of the texts that are out there, spiritual texts. It's interesting because a lot of it, the problem with a lot of the ancient religious texts is always the interpretation. I'm a little bit concerned always, because remember, all men's perception are flawed. There's just no getting around it. So we have to keep in mind that it's always the interpretation of a human mind behind what we're reading. And that goes for any text in any book. So I look at all the religious books as let's just say, in a description of energy manifestations. And yes, I found that to be extremely interesting. I also found the Tibetan Book of the Dead to be extremely fascinating. But the main thing is, I feel, is to go beyond philosophy and begin to have our own experience.
Absolutely. William, thanks so much for being on the program. Appreciate it. For Steve Carr, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesure, Ross Mitchell, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell. I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM, we'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.